It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
This is so good, I listen. 7:02, John Anderson, the professor, takes over and chats with Jason Wilde. Take it away.
Afternoon, Jace. How are you, bud?
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, my friend. Very kind.
Oh, 49 and holding. It's a beautiful thing.
I guess yeah. Pebble, did you know that? I didn't know that. Did you?
Yeah, I knew that, yeah.
Why didn't you tell me? Happy birthday.
I was going to wait till the end and ask you what you got me.
Happy birthday, too.
I got you some golf balls. The question is whether you want the thank you golf balls or the religious saying golf balls.
Well, it's funny. I talk to the Lord a lot when I'm out there, so it might not hurt.
All right. Okay.
I always say, if you play golf well, that's just Satan recruiting. Because when you play well, you don't say a word. And when you hit it terrible, you talk to God all the time.
Yeah.
And so you got to kind of watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the religious ones. Go ahead.
Jason, do you have a schedule release party or anything tomorrow? Is there anything I need to get to your house for?
No, I'd love to have you. By the way, I'm driving through lovely Chilton, so if I lose you, that is why.
Was that the famous town where what's his name's from? Casper? They had this football team that gave up no points 1 year. I think it might be Chilton. I'll work on that. You guys go back to talking.
Yeah, I know we have a show that will be celebrating the new schedule, but I'm not having any friends over. I'm not sure I have many friends left. I'll have to wait until after the girls leave for college to see if anybody's left. But the NFL's got the racket all figured out, man. Like they can create excitement about releasing a calendar. It's amazing. Yep. Now they're doing these little sprinklers that they're, there's a little game here early in the week. And, hey, tune in to Good Morning America to get a little tidbit on the Monday Night Football schedule. And, tune in to Good Morning Football on the NFL Network so we can tell you who the international matchups are going to be. They're good, man. They are so good at this.
How do we feel about, well, we know two things, right? We know the Philly game's on Monday night, so that's probably going to – that's a rating bonanza. And then I guess they're playing the Bears late again, which isn't a surprise. They've gone to that with – they've gone to divisional games late at the end of the year anyway. What kind of anticipation is there between the green and the gold package? Because literally that's all I care about now. After last year, like I'm totally selfish, and Homer's not into that. He says I should be grateful for any damn game I get.
Yep.
But I am totally like, this is a big deal to me. Because all of a sudden we're all Packer fans, but it's us and them. And I don't like what them got last year.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think my brother still has our family tickets, but there is that rivalry. I would say this. The most interesting thing about that Packers-Bears game in Chicago on that Saturday, the 20th, is that if it gives them an extra day and a short road trip for them to play on Christmas on the following Thursday. And I haven't looked this up yet, but if my memory is serving me correctly, the teams that played on Christmas last year, they designed it so they like had an extra day of rest to make it work. Because I think Christmas was on like a Wednesday, so they played Saturday games, and then they had some of the Saturday teams playing on Christmas, if I remember that correctly. And Pebble can fact check me on that. But the bottom line is that the reason that game's interesting is that it opens up the possibility of playing on Christmas again. Now, the other thing that I think is interesting, and I've gotten some grief for trying to defend my guy, Ben Brust, who months ago had reported that the Packers were going to play in Dublin on September 28th against the Steelers.
Which you insisted was not happening.
Which we know is not happening now. But I do find myself wondering if at the time that Ben reported that, that was the Packers, the NFL, and the Steelers' intent. Because remember, Murphy had written right around that time in his column, his Saturday morning column on the first Saturday of every month, that he expects the Packers to play in a international game every other year. And I wonder if the idea of Rodgers being the Steelers quarterback and the possibility slash likelihood of that made them decide, you know what, we're not going to do this. Or the Steelers said, hey, give us somebody else because we want that game on our home turf. And that's how they ended up with this. This, I think, is even more interesting. It's just not the Packers who are involved. This Vikings playing in back-to-back weeks in London 1 week and then in Dublin the next, or vice versa. Like, that to me is a really interesting move, which maybe even sets the stage someday for that European league, you know, that European division that we keep being told about.
I want you to know, Jason, the people in Ireland were told this was going to happen, and they were doing everything necessary. I don't know where it changed, but the information Ben had was 1,000% accurate. And
right, yes. See, this is as much grief as I'm taking for saying this, I think that was the intent.
And the people in Ireland were high enough up that you wouldn't tell them because they were setting everything else, time, whatever. They were high enough up the food chain that when they say it, so I don't know. But for the reasons that you stated, I think that's why. That I'm not sure of. But the information was totally as a result of Ireland and what they were ready for and were doing.
So. I think it's even simpler than that. I think it is that game and those two fan bases are too big to give that game away at 10 in the morning.
Okay.
It's that simple.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that too. Yep.
I think the networks probably just said, I get it, and it's going to be on Fox, but I don't want that game there because let's put it on at, you know, the 4:30 game, even though it's in Pittsburgh, or let's put it on even at 1 o'clock noon our time. It's going to be better. But I think it was just as simply those two audiences are going to draw a huge, huge number, and that number should not be at 10 a.m. or whatever the time it is. So that's for my what it's worth on looking at the ratings book. Hey, did you swing by and go to – did you go by coordinator day yesterday?
I did. Jeff Hafley told me that he has my sweatshirt. So I was happy to hear that. You know, I'll say this, and I tried something a little different on Channel 3000. I just took – usually I would write a bunch of stories, and I still will – but I took the most interesting thing each of the coordinators said. So, like, for Bisaccia, I chose him saying that he felt like he had let LaFleur, failed LaFleur in these playoff games. With Hafley, I took him saying basically that, look, we've got to, we were good, but we have to be different this year. We can't just run the playbook back because we had success. And with Stanovich, again, maybe this is just kind of just loose talk, but multiple times when he was talking about offensive line competition, he included right tackle. So are they down on Zach Tom to such a degree that now even his job is open for competition? Because that to me is surprising. That those are the three big takeaways I have.
Why would Tom like, well, I saw that, like, is it Jenkins decides maybe he'd like to have a new contract? I don't know if that was.
So here's, and I saw, you know, I had suggested this maybe a week ago, and then I talked to some people or texted with some people, and then Domofsky asked Steno if Elton wasn't at the offseason program because he was unhappy with moving to center, and both Steno and the people that I had corresponded with had said he was fine with moving to center, but his contract has 2 years left on it. There's no guaranteed money. He's got a base salary of like $11 million this year and like $18 million next year, and his cap number is like $24 million next year. And if I'm him, this is the rare time where I have some leverage because they have based their offensive line plan on him playing center. And I don't think he's looking for, you know, some big lucrative four-year, $100 million contract. What I think he's just looking for, and this is my understanding, is, hey, take some of this money that you're supposed to pay me, but you're not necessarily going to pay me, and guarantee it so I've got some security the next 2 years. Like, with those kind of numbers and no guaranteed money, theoretically, have him be their center this year, and if he's okay but not, like, good enough to be an all-pro like Goody had said he could be, then they cut him next year. He's a cap casualty, and now he's scrambling for a job. So I there were a bunch of people coming at me saying, this doesn't make any sense. Trust me, this makes sense. And given how rarely I break any sort of news whatsoever, you should take a moment and think maybe Jason talks to some people on rare occasions who give him some insight that lead to a rare story from him that would be qualified as news.
Was that the exclamation point of that? You sound like my dad. And then I drop my voice, and that's how you know when I'm done.
Well, what is the likelihood that they would entertain you too? So I always struggle with the delay. So I was trying to give you some space to breathe.
What's the likelihood then that happens? Because that's not generally, I don't know, that any no team wants to do that until they absolutely have to, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, to me, when your general manager, when you say that you're moving him to center, says, and I quote, "We believe he can be an all-pro center." If you think he's that good, then my response as a guy you see as an all-pro center is, all right, then guarantee some of the money you owe me. You don't have to give me any new money, but guarantee some of that so I know where I'm going to be the next 2 years. I don't think that's unreasonable. I think it's smart. And again, I mean, teams have all the leverage almost all the time. But at least to a small degree, them predicating their offensive line plan on him moving to center gives them at least something to work with. I mean, are they going to, maybe they could say, hey, go take a hike. You know, you're under contract. We'll play Jacob Monk until you get here. But Jacob Monk, they didn't even put Jacob Monk in the game when they lost like three offensive linemen to injuries in one game. And by the way, their offensive line went to garbage when Elton went out of the game in Philadelphia. So Anybody telling me he has zero leverage doesn't know what they're talking about.
All right, we're late, so I got to ask this. Is this a bad room of receivers? I don't think so, but I will change my mind if you think otherwise, Jason.
I don't think it's a bad room, but again, like, and I thought Chewy, who's obviously old school, made the point, like, you know, he called them a bunch of babies. I don't think they're bad guys, but I think, you know, welcome to 20-something folks, and I don't mean to sound like an old man here because, Homer, you're way older than me, and John's slightly older than me. But, like, this is how we've had it now with Romeo Doubs. We've had some, whatever this is with Reed. Like, this is how guys operate. And they want to be reassured. And, you know, would I have rather Jaden Reed come out after Matthew Golden was drafted and posted a profanity-laced tweet that said, I'm going to effing compete my effing A off, and this kid's not going to see the field, and I'm going to get all the targets because I am motivated to show these guys that I am their number one wide receiver? Sure. Instead, his agent talked to the general manager. So, again, I don't know what the reasoning was, but I don't know how you look at that and think, oh, this is a good look for them.
Jason, you're the best. By the way, Wikipedia, John Anderson, born in 1964 or 65. What is he, a CIA agent? What? Doesn't have the date or the correct year.
That's wild.
That is very wild. And yes, Dave Casper played on the Chilton team 1969. They were 8-0. They outscored the opposition 363-0. And of course, he went on to be a great
tight end. That's amazing. That's amazing. You can remember all that and can't remember what you had for breakfast at Ted's.
Well said. Thanks, Jason. Next.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.